everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Ariel, and...
me, Raylene. Hello.
But today we also have our guest, Lena Norms.
Sneaking in the back door. Hello.
Woo!
Everyone is cheering.
So we are actually live. Well, two-thirds of us are live, as in we recorded this way before you're hearing it, but we're live from Lena's bedroom.
I know. So intimate.
Intimate, indeed.
Not everyone gets to be inside. I'm already regretting.
Very few have seen these hallowed halls. I am currently in England because my boyfriend had a work conference, and I thought, well, I'll tag along, sure. And so we're here, and what a perfect opportunity to record with my old pal, Lena. So,
I'm not old. I just want to point that out.
That's fair, yeah.
It is not my age.
She's your 70-year-old pal.
It's my friendship longevity.
My 70-year-old best buddy. Raylene and Lena haven't met. So in a way, this is cool because you'll get to know each other through the power of books. Is there a better way?
Happens. Wonderful. I've always dreamt of this.
So we're going to jump in and start with our get to know our guest questions. Mm-hmm. Some of the standards, you've heard them before, baby, but can you answer them successfully? We're about to find out. So question number one, we're jumping right in. Who is your favorite author?
So I am actually somebody, I don't know if this is very common, who doesn't read a lot of books by the same author, even if I bloody love the book.
Interesting.
There's something about, maybe it's a form of like, you know, self-sabotage. Maybe I just don't like giving myself joy. But if I loved a book, the next thing I do isn't to go to the shop and get another book by that author. So actually, I always say like my actual favorite author is Maureen McFarlane, because she is the only author that I've actually read every single book she's ever written.
Oh.
And she is a rom-com author
from
the north of England, and all her books are kind of like set in northern towns, which I love.
Yeah.
And they're all bloody wonderful, hilarious, very feminist and funny and heartwarming, but like obviously they still get together at the end. Like you still get what you want. Like we don't want to fear off the path too much. But it's about witty women living their lives, and a rarity in the genre that they are all consistently very funny.
That's really interesting. That's awesome. Because Raylene and I have talked about this lots on the pod before, where we have authors we like, and then we never read another book by them.
Yeah, like we might buy another book by them, and then it just sits there for years and years and years.
Do you think it's a scarcity thing? Because like you said, like with me, with Jane Austen, I'm scared I'm going to run out. So like, I'm not reading Sense and Sensibility until my 40s. Like, she's dead. She's not giving me any more.
That's
how I feel about George Orwell. I am very intentionally not reading all of his books because he's my favorite author, and I'm like, he's not going to publish anymore. So if I read them all now, like, you know when people are like, I wish I could read Harry Potter for the first time again.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same thing where you're like, I wish I had more of that content. And it's like, we were dumb, idiot children, so we didn't spread them out. But like, if we can, that's, I guess, what I'm doing with George Orwell, right? Mm-hmm. I'm spreading it out. But with other authors, like Donal Ryan, who wrote All We Shall Know, loved that book. New favorite. That Christmas, I gave literally 7 copies away. I was like, everyone needs to read this book. Never read another book by him.
Is he alive or dead?
He is very much alive.
Oh, yeah. Living his best life. You think like they'll be able to give me more.
Yeah.
But it's even those ones. Yeah,
that's odd. Raylene, did you recently finish reading everything by Stephen King, or are you still making your way through?
Oh, I still have a bunch. I've read all of his, I would say, like all of his most popular kind of classics. Like I spent the past couple of years knocking all those off my list, but now I have to read like Tommyknockers and stuff like that, like random books.
Sorry,
so I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Is that the actual title of the book?
Tommyknockers. Oh yeah, that's a Stephen King book.
Does knockers mean what it means?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
That means boobs.
And they're all like his longest books too.
Oh, I like your knockers.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Right. Just checking.
But yeah, no idea what that means in the context of a Stephen King novel. So we
don't know. I'm excited for you to read it and tell me so that I do not have to read it for myself.
I don't even want to read it, but one day I will. Because I do want to be able to say I've read all of his books.
When you say you want to read all of his books, do you also want to read all the ones that aren't with the Stephen King name? Like, he has
definitely.
He writes
I've read a couple
names.
Of them. Yeah, I've already read half of those ones, so that's fine. Easy.
He made it difficult.
I'm on
he
it.
He made it difficult. All right. Question number two. Favorite book. Everyone's scared of this question.
It's okay. I'm hogging more than one.
Of course.
I defend my right to make that a list. So the three that I always say, but I'm always open to finding more favorites. So yes. I feel like every year I'm like, I feel like I have more favorites, but they haven't solidified. So I don't dare say them.
Yeah.
But my all-time favorites, Geek Love by Katherine Dunn.
Yep.
Wicked by Gregory Maguire.
Yep.
And The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Right.
They're my three.
Ooh. So The Overstory.
That's a new joiner.
I was going to say that would have been new.
Fresher. Three years ago, I think I read it. Yeah.
Maybe that book. Maybe the pandemic keeps morphing my sense of time. I'm like, that book just
came out. You think
that
just came out?
I guess it was three years ago.
Yeah.
Damn. Why are those your favorite books? A little bit.
I think because they all, like, kind of just do the best in their genre. Like, they're not even, like, they're not, like, I wouldn't defend them as completely unique.
Sure.
But, like, what they're doing, they're clearly doing it better than everyone else. If, like, writing was like the Olympics, they would pass the first, do you know what I mean? Like, they're maybe they're not the most original, but I think they're, like, examples of them doing it the best.
And with Wicked, do you love the play? Or the musical?
I love the musical.
Yeah.
But I read the book because of the musical. But actually, once I read the book, I think the musical's fine.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, that is, I mean, it's a strong claim. It's a strong claim. I'm sweating making it.
She's sweating. I can see the sweat.
Okay. I just realized, like the, it's just kind of like, it's kind of eating like the supermarket budget version of something. And then you eat the own brand that's like expensive and you're like, I wish I didn't know. But now I know. I can't go and see the musical Wicked without being like, well, they changed that to please the masses. Well, we missed out that complete section. They even changed the names of the characters.
You can tell I know nothing about theater because I called it a play. And then because to me, they're all plays. I was like, oh, shoot, it's a musical.
It's all a game. Like, they're all plays. You know?
I love Lena.
Everyone's just messing around.
It's all just some sort of a
to be clear,
game.
It's not serious.
All right. Favorite genre. I love asking this question of people because, you know, everyone we have on the podcast is obviously a book lover, but everyone, you fall into some niches sometimes, but we've also had one or two people on who are like, I'll read anything, I read everything, but, you know, you find out the specialties. People sink into little specialties and they're like, I actually do tend to read more sci-fi. What are you gravitating towards?
I want to put my status out there as, like, single with that. Like, I'm still looking for my genre. Like, I haven't found the one. And I also, I don't know if that's just because I work, like, my job was books. So I was prescribed a lot of books. So sometimes I didn't pay attention to what I gravitated towards because I had to read books for work. But I kind of put, when I was thinking about this question, I put poetry because my rationale is, if I was in a bookshop and I was only allowed to browse one section, that's the section that I'd be like, okay, I feel like I've had my fill. I can go home. You know, like, it's my favorite section to browse. And some of my favorite books have come from the poetry section.
Yeah.
So I'd say poetry. I don't defend that.
What's fascinating about that, though, is that there weren't any poetry collections in your favorite books that you mentioned.
Or
your favorite author.
Mm.
But it is your... Because really, that's kind of like almost... It's almost the same as favorite genre, but, like, it could be a cool question to ask people in the future to be like, what is your most visited bookshop section?
Yeah, that's cool. Like, what's the one you run towards? I like that.
Yeah.
What is it for you, Raylene?
I mean, generally, I go straight to the, like, general fiction.
Yeah.
And because, like, I like to look at the classics and what's new, because usually they're kind of mixed in that section.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it covers the biggest span of stuff I want to look at. Secondly, though, would be fantasy. I just love looking at fantasy books.
Yeah.
I feel like my other one would be nonfiction, probably. But then there's never just, like, a nonfiction section. It's, like, there's history and there's science.
Gardening.
And
then,
yeah.
But I don't really care which one it is, apart from gardening, maybe. But only just because I don't have a garden and I resent it.
Once you get a gardening or a garden and you can get into gardening, that's gonna be the real game changer.
Yeah,
we'll have found your favorite genre. All right, it's time to ask you what your mashed potato book is. And once again, Raylene, an opportunity to tell our new listeners what the hell we mean by a mashed potato book.
Because I've listened before, but I needed to seek clarification.
She was like, what is that again? I'm like, fair enough.
It's funny, every time I explain it, I'm like, does this actually make sense? And then I'm like, yeah, I think it does. It's just, I've said it so many times and out of them, I'm like, this sounds like a crazy person thinking. So, okay, here's how it goes. everybody, when you're eating a plate full of food with lots of different types of food, you probably have your favorite thing on the plate. And most of the time, you want to save that thing for last because it tastes so delicious and you want it to be the last thing that you eat. And so you save it, and then sometimes it gets cold because you waited so long to eat it. And it's like you should have just eaten it. And that's the mashed potatoes. And that's like our mashed potato book is a book that you've been either hanging on to for a long time, kind of saving it because you think it's going to be really good, and you just keep putting off reading it because you're saving it for the right moment. But then by the time you read it, either you're going to love it and be like, why didn't I read this sooner? Or maybe it won't even be good at all. And you'll be like, why did I take so long to read this book? I should have just read it years ago. So it can mean a lot of things.
I guess my clarification I was seeking was like, do I have to have now read the book, or can I still be?
No, it could be one that you haven't read yet.
Yeah, you could still be in the painful, you could have one of each phase of waiting.
Yeah. So my one was I went to my gap year. I was on my gap year in a place called the US of A. I don't know if you've heard of it. Ooh. It's really great there. Some of the culture is really. Anyway, I was there and I was 19 years old and I bought The Elegance of the Hedgehog by Muriel Barbery.
Mm.
And I thought it sounded really deep, sounded like, wow. This book's going to really show me who I am. And I carried it with me the whole of the trip. I went across America, carried it with me. And then I carried it with me to university. I didn't read it there. And then I carried it to the executive, like, 5 to 7 residences. And every time I was like, what a great book. Can't wait to find out who I am. And I read it during the pandemic, 11 years later.
You read it? Okay, whoa. This is the definition of a mashed potato book. This might be the most iconic mashed potato book we've had.
It's like 11 years of procrastination. That's incredible.
Yes, that's incredible.
Incredible. Wild. Diagnose me with something.
And?
Was it's incredible. Wait, it's one really? Of my favorite books. It almost made the list.
Oh my god, really?
Wow, that's a major success.
It is. I know. And I've been disappointed before, which is maybe why I didn't get around to it.
Yes.
But like, it's so good.
Oh my god, I
and
love
who
that.
Would, and it's a translation, and like, who would have known if I'd have got it when I was like 19? Like, maybe
that's
I like,
true.
I was like, there was like a magnet, there was like a, you know, an animal attraction for me in the book, but it wasn't the time
it
for
wasn't
us,
the time
you know?
Yet. Oh my god, what
it's
a
like
success
people
story.
People visit you from the past.
It's like deep down, sometimes we just know that it's not the right time. Because it's like, what was the reason that you that didn't read it 6 years ago? Like, who knows?
Yeah, I don't really have an answer.
Exactly. We never do.
Maybe because I just didn't know myself.
Yeah, well, huge question. Do you know yourself now?
Yeah, I feel like I do. And we put it all down to that book, but like, wow.
Something happened in the last 11 years that really clarified things.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how long ago did you read that? It was during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't
maybe like
exactly
18 months ago or something.
Okay. So what was the last great book you read?
The last great book I read? The last great book? Probably Still Life. It's a new book by Sarah Winman who wrote When God Was a Rabbit.
Yeah.
And like The Tin Man, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I didn't really get on with some of her books. Like I read When God Was a Rabbit and I was like, I can take it or leave it.
Wasn't Tin Man, is that got the sunflowers on it?
Yeah.
It was nominated for the Booker or won the Booker or something. Yeah.
But I had to interview her for an event. So I had to read a new book. Consent is out the window. It's like 450, nearly 500 pages long, which I'm like morally against.
Wow.
Like, yeah. As a stance, even though a lot of my favorite books are long, but it's incredible. And it's one of those books that's set over like 5 decades and it follows like 12 characters, but like mainly this guy called Ulysses, who like you meet him at the end of the war and he's like had loads of stuff happen to him, and he meets this old woman who's been trying to like save the paintings in Florence that have been ruined because of like the conflict. And she tells him to like go to Florence and he'll have an experience of some kind. So he goes and he basically, this isn't too much of a spoiler, but he talks a man off a roof who was about to jump.
Okay.
And they have a really deep conversation about the meaning of life.
Okay.
And then he goes and gets on with his life and lives this beautiful life in London, in the East End of London, in this pub with like all these different characters that come in and out of his life.
Oh my God.
All feel really real and it's amazing. And then he gets, you know, this still isn't too much of a spoiler. This all happens at the beginning of the book.
Okay.
He gets a letter and the man that he talked off the roof has died and left him a flat in Florence. So him and loads of his like friends and like this child that he's adopted and like these other kind of like ramshackle characters who all like aren't related but like love each other a lot, leave their pub in the East End of London and go and like set up in Florence and like
this is
try and speak Italian.
This sounds so good.
It's so weird.
Yeah, but like
thoroughly weird. It and sounds so like, much weird shit happens.
It sounds sorry, like it could be made into a movie starring the Muppets.
Is that a weird thing to say?
Yes, yes. It's like art history meets the Muppets, and there's loads of stuff about statues and paintings and why they're important and like that's why so they're for cool. everybody. It's really yeah. weird, but it's good.
I will add right here to all of our listeners, as always, if you go to our website / click the link in the show notes, there is a list of all the books we talk about in case Lena's accent and you're like, what was the book? It's all written down. So you can just enjoy
it. In case you don't speak proper English.
if you're just used to me and Raylene's very Canadian accent. All right. Our last question for this kind of quick round is, what are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading We Are the Weather, because we are buddy reading We Are the Weather.
It's true.
And but I will admit that it's kind of, it's my fifth read.
Oh,
that's so
interesting. I don't know if I can claim that as currently reading.
How often do you reread books?
Not very often at all. I'm not a faithful person. in any way. Like,
just move on.
Yeah, I just move on.
Right.
But
so it's a big deal that you've read this
really
book
big deal.
Five times.
In fact, it probably, now you're saying it aloud, it really should have been in my favourite books list. There wasn't room for everybody on the arc. You know, everyone can make it. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Okay. But I like had to read it five times because not everything went in because it's so overwhelming.
It's dense.
Like, it's, yeah.
There's a lot of... You can tell it's just like any thought Jonathan Safran Foer has ever had about climate. He was like, I have to put it in there too. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Raylene, it's time for us to jump into our recommendations. I think, so what we usually do when we have guests on, I think we've done it every time, is we both pick out a couple of recommendations and we send them over to our guest. And then they pick the ones that, like, work the best. Mm. And I think, Raylene, you picked the three that Lena picked.
Yes!
So I think you nailed it on all three of them.
I win again.
Yeah. So it's time to start reading them out. I'm excited for you. We should start with the this person, just because she was so specific about how to pronounce her name. Like, usually people just put their name and then we try and pronounce it right, or maybe in brackets they'll put like pronounced like this. But this person wrote Marta, not Martha, so clearly she gets Martha a lot.
Unless her middle name is not.
Yeah,
consider that. Maybe
that's just her full name.
Marta, not Martha.
I thought our job has not been done here.
Incredible. All right, Raylene, let's start it with Marta.
Marta, not Martha. Yes, so Marta says, "Hi, Raylene and Ariel. I live in northern Norway and we're about to enter Mørketida, the dark time." I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's the dark time, "where we don't get any sun for a solid few months. So I would really like some books to help me get through the minimum seasonal depression. Sunshine or vitamin D in a book, if you will. Hope you can help. Love from the soon-to-be frozen wastelands."
I feel like I've always felt like the Scandinavian countries are like our brothers. Do you feel that, Raylene? Like, because they're kind of...
I've never thought about that before.
Oh, that's interesting. I always think of them as like Canadian brothers because we're all in the north.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I always think of them, but then they get this like 4 months of darkness. Yeah, then I'm like, yeah, we don't have that. Right. Well, we do probably in the Arctic, but there's not that many. Toronto is not very north, actually. Anyways, this is a cool one because a lot of people suffer from seasonal depression. So it's nice to be able to get some happy books to read during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So Lena, start it off. What did you pick?
So I have a few because also like it's kind of hard to do because how a novel gets a plot is that something bad happens.
You know, that's like, true. That's
it's really hard to think of a book where like
there has to be conflict of some kind.
Nothing bad happens.
That's super true.
But like books that make me feel that, like one I had actually written Still Life by Sarah.
Okay.
Because even though I mentioned things like war and people jumping off things, actually it was a great bedtime read and nothing like
distressing.
The narrator makes you feel like everything is usually going to be okay. And nice. Even if something big happens, it feels like it's the next natural thing to happen and all the characters are equipped to deal with it. So that's why I'd say it's a sunshine book.
Okay.
And then also 84 Charing Cross Road, which is
yes.
all written in letters and like a very cozy read about like a writer and some booksellers exchanging letters throughout the war. And it's, oh God, so cozy.
I have known about that book for a really long time, and I finally purchased it a few years ago from Foyles, my favorite bookshop in the world, which Raylene, I just found out, was purchased by Waterstones and is no longer actually an independent bookshop.
Tell your friends.
Lena was telling me the hot goss, and it happened right before the pandemic, I guess, and I just didn't know, but like also they seem to have kept it on the DL so that we all still think they're independent. God damn it.
Yuck.
God damn it.
It's ugly.
It's been a devastating time over here.
But that is on Charing Cross Road.
Yes. So that's satisfying. I think that's why I bought it on Charing Cross Road. That's funny.
84 Charing Cross Road, which is the famous bookshop this is written about, because it's kind of a biography. It's not fiction.
Yeah.
Is now a McDonald's. And it has a blue plaque above it. There's like the big, like, happy, like, yellow arches of McDonald's. And then above it is a blue plaque being like, this used to be one of the most historic and famous bookshops in the world. And now you can get your McNuggets.
If you mention the book at the till, you'll get a free fries.
Kick in the teeth.
Okay, Raylene, what book did you pick?
Well, I actually picked an Ariel book. I picked An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green. Because
bold of you. Bold of you to do.
I know. I feel like I haven't read that many, like, happy books or fun books. Most of the time they're sad or horrifying. So I feel like I've talked about most of them already. So I was like, let's just shake it up a little bit. Because this book just has such a wacky plot. I feel like it's the type of thing that you can read to, and like, I don't think it's possible to be sad while reading this book, because Hank Green is just so fun and funny and has a great writing style. And the plot, like I said, is just wild. So it's impossible to be sad.
I agree. I think that's a really good one. And honestly, you should mention Ariel books all the time, because you can give other people your perspective on why they should buy the book. And I can just
definitely
nod enthusiastically. The one I picked, I actually, you guys, think it doesn't have any conflict.
Oh.
Well, like, I know it does, but the conflict is so non-conflict that it's not really conflict. It's 15 by Beverly Cleary.
I was going to say it has to be like a kid's book.
Yeah. So it's a book written in the 50s. By, what's her most famous book, Raylene? It's Ramona or something? I forget.
Jesus and Ramona.
Yeah, that. That's like a really big kid series, but I never read that. The reason I got this book is insane, okay? I think I've told the story on the pod before, but for our new listeners, my parents, when I was like 12, my parents were, maybe I was 14, I don't know, my parents were buying a new couch. And I was in a furniture store, and like, buying a couch takes a while, I guess. And so I was just bored, and I was walking around the store, and I found a display book that they were using to display like a bookshelf. And I just started reading it while they were buying the couch. And that's, I got invested. I know. I got
you, like, sniff out the one book in the building, like,
oh, there it is.
My spidey senses are tingling. Like,
diamond. So I started reading it, and I really, really wanted it, because I was invested now. And I also was kind of I became emotionally attached to this specific copy of the book that is like old, because the book is from the 50s, right? So it's an old book. It didn't have its dust jacket anymore, but it had a beautiful, like, one of those foiled engravings in the front of the hardcover of a girl reading. I was like, so I went up to my dad and I was like, wait, I want this book. And he was like, and he somehow like talked to the guy. And because they were buying like expensive couches, they're like, yeah, take the book. So I got to take the book home, and it's one of my favorites. Like, it's just such a beautiful book. But the whole concept is just a 15-year-old girl gets her first boyfriend in the 50s, and they like go to a diner. And the big drama in the book is that he gets sick, and she didn't know about it, and so she feels bad that she didn't give him flowers faster.
It sounds like exactly what I want to read right now.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so charming. And it's definitely one of my favorites. So that is, I feel like that is very much sunshine. You can't get sad while you're reading that book.
That is true. I guess Anne of Green Gables is another one that we've recommended a lot, but just works.
That's a good
one. It's that same vibe.
Yeah, that's you're right. That's the same vibe. All right, the next one.
This next one comes from Marie, who says, hey guys, what books do you enjoy where the title makes you think, what does this have to do with the story? And she got this idea from our mooncakes discussion, in that there were no mooncakes in Mooncakes at all.
We read this book called Mooncakes.
How insulting.
They mentioned it in one page.
Yeah, they were, but like, they never eat them or make them or
use them for the magic in the book or anything. So you're just sort of like, That was like a strange choice. By the way, if the microphone is picking up my stomach growling, it's because Lena's cooking potatoes, I think, and my stomach is like, can I eat the potatoes?
Please. Why can I smell them if they're not in my mouth? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, Lena, start us off with... I'm excited about this. This is kind of a unique one, really. And titles are very interesting.
I thought this was a great question.
This is a cool question. So what did you pick, Lena?
So I had two, because I wasn't sure if we had to solve...
Solve it. Yeah.
So one of them was like A Long Petal of the Sea, which is set in Chile. I didn't know the shape of Chile before I read it. It's a very long country.
Oh, okay.
All bordering the sea.
Yes, very thin.
And it's, yeah, and it's also a quote from a famous Chilean poet. That took me like most of the book to work out. I was maybe like 90% of the way through before I was like, I wonder where Chile is, like properly. Like, because I kind of knew the vague area, but I genuinely didn't know the shape of Chile. So that was a great learning moment for me. Probably not what Isabel Allende meant to do, but...
She's cool. She's such a cool lady.
Yeah, I didn't watch the interview with her. She's really interesting. And then the other one is a book I just read called Here I Am by Jonathan Safran Foer.
Right.
And I didn't work out what that was about for most of the book. But actually, in the Torah and the Bible, there's loads of points where God is like, where like looking for somebody, and then the person says like, "Here I am," and the God continues to look for them. Or something. It's kind of about like, I know where you are, but where are you? Like, where's the essence of you? And like, it happens when he like calls Samuel in the night and stuff like that. I kind of only clicked that with my like religion knowledge, and then I look back through the book and I was like, oh yeah, that is what it is. It's because. That's why it's called Here I Am. Like,
that's interesting. Okay. Wow. And he mentions that same idea in We Are the Weather.
Yeah, he's...
It comes up again.
He's really, like, cross-referencing here. Maybe he's betting on us not reading all his books.
Yeah, because he does also...
He knows what we're like.
He talks a lot about the stuff he wrote in Eating Animals. And I was like, I'm supposed to have read Eating Animals too, aren't I? He's very self-referential. Okay, Raylene, what did you pick? Mm.
Well, mine is kind of an unoriginal answer, I guess, but I picked The Catcher in the Rye.
I knew you were going to pick that one.
I, to this day, don't know what... Is there an answer?
Yes. Raylene's...
There is kind of an answer in the book, which I won't get into because it's kind of fun to read the book.
I've read the book, but I don't remember catching that.
It's a poem, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's one that I always like kind of forget about, and then I reread it, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the thing. Because the title, if you haven't read the book, and if you start reading the book, you're like, what's going on? Like, catcher of what? Why are they in the rye? Like, it's such a strange title, and it kind of takes a little while to get to the explanation. But yeah, so that's one that I thought was just like,
Definitely. Yeah. There's this poem, Lena.
Okay.
Coming Through the Rye. So it's not Catcher in the Rye.
Okay.
And it's about, it's like this kind of poem, but then in the end of Catcher in the Rye, he's talking about how what he wants to do is catch children, like, that are running around in the rye, and like catch them before they fall. And so it's sort of this like big symbol about him wanting to be this mediator of helping kids remain kids and keep their innocence, as opposed to them just plunging into adulthood, which is sort of what has happened to him.
Yeah.
God, it's beautiful. I remember when I was thinking about this question, I was like, that might be the best reveal of a title ever. Because you get to the end and you're reading it and you're like, this is really actually very emotional and completely is like, solves the thesis of the entire book. Wow. 10 out of 10.
It went over my head the first time I read it, that's for sure.
I think it went over...
I've only read it once and that definitely went over. I mean, most of the book went over my head, if I'm honest.
I think it did for me the first time I read it as well. Okay, the one I picked is The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa, but for a different reason.
I understand,
Raylene's already got me. I think it's a completely misleading title.
Yeah.
Completely. Have you read The Memory Police?
No, but I've heard other people say, not about the title, but just generally, and like, that's not what they said the book was.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So like, The Memory Police is like one of those, I've thought about this a lot. Like, when marketing does not speak truth to what the book is about. And sometimes it's more egregious than other times. And in The Memory Police, like, it's a mixture of the cover, which is like very epic, right?
Yeah,
it looks very sci-fi and like, whoa, this is going to have a lot of plot. And then the title, The Memory Police. It's like, okay.
It's a great title.
It is scary. A great title. It's scary. You're very much getting that Orwellian vibe of like, okay, mm-hmm. we've got police who like monitor your memory. Like, what does that mean? And then you read the synopsis and it's like about a world where the government can delete everyone's memory. So they can like delete the concept of a ribbon and suddenly nobody knows what a ribbon is anymore. Mm. And it's such a compelling idea. But then the book is not about that at all. It's like sort of about that, but like also not like that. And I think you meet one memory policeman the entire time. Like she goes into a building and walks past one and she's like, oh, that might be a memory police. And then she leaves again. And you're like, pardon?
Yeah, you think they're going to be a big part of the book, but they kind of are not.
They're not. And so I don't think it's fair to call the book that.
I have a question.
Please ask it.
As Help the me. Book community, TM, we're not really in the habit of returning books. You don't feel like once you've finished a book, you can return it. But I feel like if the description was so misleading, like if you bought a packet of gravy and it said it had these ingredients and you actually found it had different ingredients, like you'd be pissed, right? You'd write. Yeah. You'd write. You'd tweet.
Yes. Yes.
You'd ask for your money back.
This happened to me once when I was a teen. And I was so enraged because it was Just One Day by Gail Forman. Okay? I loved that book. I've reread it in my 20s and I don't really like the book anymore, but it's fine. It worked for me as a teen. It was important to me then. It's about a girl who studies abroad.
Great.
Ariel. Gotcha. But the book was amazing to me. I loved this book. It was so good. The book takes place all in one day, just one day, like half of it. And then the second half is the year after what happened in that day and her like processing everything that happened. Okay. A sequel comes out called Just One Year. And you're like, this is so exciting. Obviously, it's a sequel. It's called Just One Year. Everything, like the covers look the same and everything. I bought it. I start reading it. It's that year following the first day from another character's perspective. Oh. And they don't put that in the marketing. And it enraged me for the same thing. I was like, you tricked me. Like, you knew I wanted a sequel to, because the first book ends on this massive cliffhanger. So you're like, you knew I was expecting the sequel.
Yeah.
And you tricked me. I hate that.
And that's the power of titles, in that if that had had a different title, you might have been more open to liking the book.
Yeah.
And the same with The Memory Police, maybe.
I would have gone in expecting something different.
Yeah.
And so the whole time I wasn't waiting for the thing to click or whatever. But it's funny you bring that up of like, can we return books? It's not really like, it's not a library, but at the same time, like you're saying, it is a product that you are purchasing. And if it's not like meeting what you think it is, can you not return it? Chapters, I think I told you about this, Raylene, but I recently found out. So Chapters is like the Canadian Waterstones, right? It's our big, massive chain. Chapters had the CEO of Chapters. Her name is Heather. I'm just like, every Canadian who's listening to this right now is like, I guess you do have to explain Heather's picks.
Yeah,
she picks her favorite books of the year, and they're called Heather's Picks. And it's just like unanimous across Canada that we know who Heather is and her picks. So when you walk into a bookshop or like these bookshops, there's always Heather's picks, or sprinkled throughout the store, she has this big sticker on it.
I would 100% do that. So if I owned a chain of bookshops, I would have Lena's picks.
I think it's awesome, right?
I like that.
I think it's really cool. She's like the most powerful woman CEO, and she's in Canada, and she's like a bookshop. Anyway, I'm getting off track. You can return a Heather's pick if you don't like it.
She guarantees
the books.
Oh, that is, wow.
Isn't that
I like that kind of energy.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's really cool. I had gone to a shop and one of the booksellers was like really excited about One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she was like trying to convince me to buy it. And I was like on the edge. And she's like, well, remember, it's a Heather's pick. So if you end up not liking it, you can return it. And I was like,
Nobody's ever told us that before.
I've spent thousands of dollars in Indigo over my life, and I
on
did
Heather's
not.
Picks.
Well, not maybe not just on Heather's Picks, but like
I almost never buy Heather's Picks, to be honest.
She always recommends, like, I mean, to be fair, the safe books, probably, like bestsellers and stuff. But I didn't know that you could return them, and I thought that's really cool.
You have to try it though.
Yeah,
I won't believe it until they give you the money.
All of her books are 40% off, even hardcovers.
Sign me up.
Heather, you know what?
It's pretty cool.
She sounds like a great woman.
She's pretty great. So, I actually, my copy of the Night Circus still has a Heather's Pick sticker on it. I don't know why I never took it off, but I just left it on there, and it's part of it.
It's part of its story.
It's part of its journey. Have you read the Night Circus?
I've read parts of the Night Circus, but it wasn't because I didn't like it that I stopped reading it. I lost the book.
The Lost Circus.
I lost it. And I didn't.
And never to be found
and
again.
Again, like with the inexplicable, I didn't read the Elegance of the Hedgehog. I don't know why. I didn't go and get another copy. I even worked at the publisher. I could have got a free copy. But why? I thought, well, that book's gone now.
Do you know when you lost it or just you fully lost
it? Oh, like 5 years ago.
Okay. Yes, that it's gone. Is gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm aware that it's a widely available book and I could 100% purchase it at any moment. But I kind of feel
like I would take that as a sign.
Yeah, I kind of feel like maybe on some level I felt like it was a sign.
Raylene, have you ever lost a book before?
I don't think so.
Are you kidding?
But maybe. I mean, there have definitely been... I mean, I'm not the type to really lose things in general.
Lena versus Raylene is the exact opposite.
Are we the two different wings?
It's the opposite of my friendship group of, like, organizational status.
Yeah, like, I think the worst that's happened is, like, lending a book to someone and then they never give it back. Like, that has happened a couple of times, and that's why
she has been burned before.
Yeah.
I've been the person problem. To not give somebody a book.
I stole one of your books 6 years ago.
Oh.
Do you know what it is?
I'm a great person to steal books from because you don't remember. I won't fucking know.
Do you know what it is?
Can you guess? Was it the Night Circus?
No. Imagine it was the Night Circus.
That'd be so funny. That would be amazing.
Do you know what it is? It was in that London.
Was it like a Nancy Mitford book?
Nope.
Because I lost those two. I could go through all this.
How is it possible?
It was Trains and Lovers by Alexander...
McQueen.
No,
that's the fashion designer. Absolutely not.
Like something Smith. Smith. Something Smith. Alexander something Smith.
I did not know that book.
I stole it from you. Oh, well, I was kind of like, can I borrow this?
Oh, yeah, I did read that book.
It's Little and Red.
I didn't like it very much. Should I let you have
That's probably why you were like, yeah, borrow it.
Take it.
Jesus. I don't think I've ever lost a book that I can remember, but I have lost an important dust jacket. As Raylene knows, I lost my dust jacket of 172 hours. I love that book. Don't know how the hell I lost a dust jacket. Because it's a beautiful dust jacket. I can't read
like a dust jacket market on eBay or something. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, can you not get paired up with somebody who lost the book but not the dust? It feels solvable to me.
Just partner up, please.
Incredible. All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Lena, thanks for being on our pod.
No problemo.
This was great. We're actually off to record our mini podcast. We're gonna ask you one more question. Name a book that you want 50 more pages of. We haven't thought about this. None of us have thought about it.
Oh, yeah, I haven't.
No, we're not recording that yet. Don't worry, we're still at the end of it. So this could be for many reasons. Like, the book's ending felt rushed. There were unanswered questions. You just want 50 more pages with your favorite characters. I'm excited to hear your picks. So we're going to be answering that on our Patreon. If you guys want to check that out, that's patreon.com/booksunbucket. Also linked in our show notes. And we have merch. And you guys, we've been wearing our new beanies. And they're fucking great. Okay, I said it, you guys.
There's no other word.
There's no other word. Lena, you've seen the beanie.
Oh, I love the beanie.
She loves it.
I'm really impressed.
Absolutely it's loves so cute. It. So there you go. All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Lena is obviously linked in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. Lena, you have a poetry collection coming out.
I do. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yes. Wow. Oh, my God. That is coming out, so we're going to have to link that for
deep
sure.
in the future.
But still.
It's called Bargain Bin Rom-Cob, and it's coming out in July 2022.
Okay. We will link, of course, to your Instagram and other stuff. Please check out Lena. She's honestly one of my favorite creators, and I'm excited that we had you on, because this was as funny as I hoped it would be.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you guys in our next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.